minute 114 of the Great Escape Minute, the daily podcast where we dig into the Great Escape 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again on this lovely Thursday is Eric Deutsch, co-host of Flash Gordon Minute and Escape from New York Minute. Welcome back, Eric.
Thank you. I'm hoping that this minute it looks like we finally are going to get some fresh air.
Quite possibly. We'll find out shortly. So, minute 114 begins with Mac arriving at the final station and goes until Hiltz starts explaining the new problem that has arisen. So, as we discussed yesterday, Mac was going down the tunnel, maybe trying not to hit his head, or maybe he's starting to crack. We aren't 100% sure of that. But he finally reaches the final station where Roger is waiting for him. Roger quickly helps him out. You see, at this point, he's actually more efficient. Roger's back in efficiency mode because he's more efficient than he was yesterday when, it took him a while to tap that they should take the trolley back. At this point, he basically drags Mac off the trolley and quickly taps it that they should take it back. So I think that's pretty funny, the way that the speed and, that he does that. And precision. And at this point, both Roger and Mac look up to the exit of the tunnel, trying to wait to hear the news from Hiltz. Hiltz sticks his hand up and rips out some graphs and calls down to Bartlett and throws down the patch of dirt that he's able to pull out. And it's great seeing how giddy and happy both Roger and Mac are. You know, they don't look like they're about to try and escape from a prison camp. You know, they look like they're just out a night at the bar.
Yeah, especially Roger, who's, really been all business. It's great that he allows himself almost to have this few seconds of, all right, things are going well. We really are getting close. I think we might be able to do this. That's all said in that smile of his.
Right, and not just that we think we're going to be able to do it, we're going to do this.
Yes, yes.
Here we are. We're getting ready for this, and we've hit. Normally you'd say we hit pay dirt, but they've actually hit pay grass.
Yes.
And then he just tosses it to the side, and then you have Hiltz blows out the candle in order to get ready to pop his head up. Now, do you think it's effective enough just blowing out the candle? Because there are lights underneath. They have electricity going on. Someone who's looking would probably see some faint light coming out of the ground.
Yeah, there's the light bulb down where Roger and Mac are sitting still, down in the tunnel. That should definitely be turned off, I think, also.
Yeah, they have to quickly unscrew that light bulb there.
Yeah.
But they don't. there's also we get the lighting from the cinematographer here. Because there's no reason that there should be a little bit of light on Hiltz's face as he's trying to do it. And then, he pushes up the shovel, and you see the shovel pop out of the ground. And I love how he like, twists it around. It looks like a periscope, the way that it swivels around. That they're trying to look at each direction to see what's going on.
Yeah, it's a slight moment of levity.
Yes.
That little shovel turn. Yeah, yes.
Exactly. No, I mean, obviously, that's the way you're going to cut the dirt around it by twisting it around like that. But it's just funny that it's popping up. It's like...
Yes, exactly.
It reminds me a little bit of, from Jedi R2. His periscope pops up out of the sand in order for them to know where to pick them up if they fall off the sail barge.
Yes, exactly, yes.
Twists it around, looking for that, which if anyone copied from anybody, Lucas copied from this, because this came out 20 years before Jedi came out. But, they change the terrain a little bit. Then it pokes back down, and then we get this Hiltz back underneath, pulling down a lot of sand. And then I love how his head just, pops out at this point. He slowly tries to pop his head out of the hole. What's funny is that he knows which direction to already look in. He knows to look back at the camp. He's aware of his surroundings. Because he's not like looking around. He's looking when his head pops out. He just goes one direction. Correct.
Yep. His head comes up and it's already looking at the camp.
Yeah. So it makes you wonder. If he should know the direction The side where the letter is, that should be the direction into the forest. Yeah, that's right. He's looking back to see if anyone can see them. That's what he's doing. And, yep. You know, when he does that, he can, you know, he sees the guards walking by. He sees that everyone is concentrating on what's going on inside of the camp and not outside of it. And then he swivels around a little bit, and he's pretty shocked. You know, like I love his reaction there because it's very comical. You know, he like turns his head a little bit, and then when he notices, he swivels his whole body around, you know, in shock, trying to figure out, you know, how is it possible that this actually happened? You know, he should be inside the trees, not before the tree. You know, not before the trees.
This is, to me, is one of the best overall moments in movie history. Yeah. This is really, you know, where that you think that they're coming out. And you're like, okay, now we're going to get to, everyone's going to come through the tunnel. And, oh, wow, just what a complete stunning turn of events here for them. It's the worst, the only worst possible scenario than this would be if the tunnel came up still inside the fence. You know, it's that would have been worse. But other than that, this really is just really, really bad. I tried to think of a few other really good, oh crap, moments that I thought of from movie history. I wanted to see what you thought about this list that I came up with here. Sorry if anyone, any of these movies, there might be spoilers in the things I'm about to say here. In Interstellar, when they say those aren't mountains, right. I don't know if you're familiar with that scene or not.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, to me that's a real, you know, that's definitely a oh crap moment. In Aliens.
I think this one's a bigger one. This is a yes. bigger one.
In Aliens, when they realize that the scanner is recording that there are aliens around them, but they say, how could that be? They would be in the room, and they look up at the ceiling and realize all the aliens are in the air shaft right above their heads.
That one's a good one. That one is almost on par with this one, if not, you know, okay. What else?
Mm-hmm. Silence of the Lambs. They have that great back and forth cut. They have Clarice ringing the doorbell and the other team ringing the doorbell, and they make you think that Clarice is in
that
the one building
at the same place. Yeah.
Yep, and she opens the door and Buffalo Bill's standing there.
Okay, that's a great one.
Planet of the Apes. Taylor finds his friend but turns him around and he's been lobotomized.
Okay.
In the original The Avengers, they defeat the first giant alien creature that comes flying through, and you think, okay, you know, the Avengers are going to win, and then they say, send the rest, and dozens of more of them come flying through.
Wow, okay.
And then my last one, I had to go with, I had to think of one from one of the two movies I've done, a movie by Minute Force, so I went with something from Flash Gordon, when Ming tells Prince Thun to fall on his sword because he hasn't brought a tribute to Ming that year, and the facial expression that Prince Thun has on his face as he realizes Ming's telling him to now commit suicide in front of everybody.
Wow. Yeah, those are all great. Wait, now you want me to rank these, or you're just...
No. Wanted to see if you agreed with the oh crap aspect of them.
Yeah, no, completely. Every one of the ones you mentioned are definitely fit into that category. I wish I would have known you would do this. I would have done a little more research to try and find some of those myself. But I have to think about it. Actually, here's one in Stand By Me with the leeches.
Oh yeah, when he pulls the one out of his yep.
Out of his pants. That's a yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
that's the first one that came to mind right now. I'm sure there are so many. I mean, because you need those type of moments in movies, like in any type of movie for that matter, in order to basically shock the entire. You know, it's like M. Night Shyamalan decided to put one of those in every one of his movies, which the problem was is that everyone now looks for them.
Right, yeah.
You know, the idea is that you're not supposed to expect these things. But if that's your trademark, it's a little more of a problem. but I think you can say that in The Sixth Sense, because that was, I guess, early enough in his career, you know, that when we finally realize what's going on, and we're able to start seeing things through his eyes.
Yeah,
I think that's a moment like that too, because you know he knows it the whole time. Actually, Bruce Willis doesn't know it, so I think that's also when Bruce Willis realizes what's going on.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm sure we could probably go on for hours trying to think of these. you know, so if anyone out there actually wants to send us some of their ideas of these oh crap moments in movies, feel free to clutter up our email, Facebook, Twitter, go to the website and you know, bomb us with all your ideas of what scenes you think are the best oh crap scenes in movies, in some of your favorite movies, or maybe some of your not favorite movies. could be either way. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, because that was actually only about half the list. I pared it down because I didn't want to completely hijack this episode.
No. You have any other good ones that you want to mention?
Unfortunately,
got rid of all the bad ones.
I actually did delete from my Word doc all the other ones. Yeah.
Ah, okay. All right. No, I still actually write my notes by hand.
Oh, okay.
I just find it easier because then I have, you know, the movie in front of me. And then I can, you know, quickly write it down as I'm going through it, as opposed to having to you know, switch windows on the screen, you know, to go into Word and start typing it up. So yeah, I still have it. I probably should scan them in one of these days so that I have them, just in case, because who knows how long I'll be able to, you know, when I'll lose all these pieces of paper. Right. So at this point, he definitely realizes something's wrong. And I think the first thing that goes through his mind is, how do I explain this to Roger? I think that's his first thought. Because you don't want to be the one to have to explain these type of things to the boss. You know, even though it's not your fault.
Right.
You know, and he moves around so rapidly when he's like jerking back and forth while he's looking, you know, around at the trees and stuff like that. And then he says, all right, the hell with it. I got to tell Roger. So he quickly plops down. And then goes down that the 30 feet. You know, Roger and Mac are waiting to hear, we have freedom, I can smell air, you know. And that's not what they get. Roger basically says, oh, is everything all right? And then he goes, well, hold on to yourself. Hold on to yourself, Bartlett. You're 20 feet short. Now, in the original script, they're actually 10 feet short instead of 20 feet. And they decided to change it. And next week we'll discuss about the rope, and they added 10 feet to the rope. So they say we need 30 feet of rope, as opposed to in the script, the original script, they needed 20 feet of rope. And Roger is completely perplexed at this point. And he goes, what do you mean? And you know, we discussed earlier this week of how great an actor Richard Attenborough is and how well he plays this character, that he's got everything down to a science of the way he's doing things. And this he didn't expect, you know. And then Hiltz explains a little more. He says, well, we're 20 feet short of the woods. The hole is completely out in the open. And then he continues and says, and I love the way he explains, but he also visualizes. And he says, the guard is between us and the lights. And the way that he's gesturing with his fingers as he's saying it is great. Because I can't necessarily say it's that effective in helping, you know, the viewer understand what's going on. So is it helping Roger understand what's going on by him, you know, doing that?
Yeah, I almost get a sense that Hiltz knows that Roger is going to be stunned by this. And so Hiltz says, I'm going to have to explain this to him like he's a third grader. And so when you explain things to third graders, a lot of times you use visuals. And so it's like to make sure that Roger, in his stunned mind, Hiltz wants to make sure that he gets through to him exactly what the situation is. So I'm going to use visual aids here just to make sure I get through, because I know he's going to be just completely stunned.
Right. And you know, he makes a hole with his hand, and he makes like an okay type of thing and says, here's the hole. And then he takes his index finger and says, this is where the hole is. This is where the trees are. This is where the guards are. You know, just to try and show this is where the lights are and this is where the guards are, or something like that. So it's just funny the way that he does this gesturing in order to show it. Now, I mean, we discussed yesterday a little bit about the music, but the music in this minute is also great.
So good. Oh, so good.
Because in this minute, there's so little dialogue, and the music is what really raises the tension here. You know, we have a little bit of hopeful music when he's, you know, trying to pull out the grass, you know, from underneath and stuff like that. And then when he pops his head up, the music just completely changes. And, you know, we can see how much the music is helping this story move along.
Yes, especially because the tone changes to that more foreboding song.
Ominous.
Before the reveal, what happens, before you see it. So you get a couple of seconds where you're like, uh-oh, something's wrong, but we don't know what it is yet. And that was really good.
Yeah, and you know, and obviously, I think it's funny that Hiltz is the one who they put at the front to be dealing all this. I think part of it was the idea that he's the actor who can express these type of comedic moments better than anyone else. Because like if you would think of Danny trying to do what Hiltz does here, or Willie, or Ashley Pitt. I mean, can you think of another character in the movie that could imitate what Hiltz does here and still have it come across as effectively?
No, his character and the actor playing him, they have the charisma to pull that off.
Yeah, but that's what's amazing. There's no other actor in this movie who could pull off what he just does. In this minute, which, you know, a lot of times they say that certain actors were born for certain roles and then other roles can be played by just about anybody or whatever. But there's no question about, in my mind, that McQueen is Hiltz and Hiltz is McQueen. And he is so different from all of the other characters here that he himself is able to change the tone of things that are going on because of the way he plays this character.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah. All right. So anything else you want to say about this minute?
No, that's it for me for this minute.
All right. You've actually gotten me starting to think about, what other oh crap moments there are.
I wish I hadn't deleted my other choices.
Yeah. Because, again, there are tons of them. There's no question about that. Actually, what about in Shawshank, where everyone thinks that Andy committed suicide? Because they make the audience think it also?
I'm sure I haven't seen that movie in a long time. I'm trying to remember that scene. Is that after he breaks out?
Well, he breaks out, but we don't know how he broke out. We just know his cell is empty.
Yeah, I'm having trouble remembering. It's been too long since I saw that movie. I'm having trouble remembering that scene.
Okay. All right. So I guess we'll have to think about maybe tomorrow we'll have a few more of those. Who knows? Maybe we'll surprise people with some more suggestions there. all right. So you want to see and tell people how they can get in touch with you?
So for Flash Gordon Minute and Escape from New York Minute, we're, both of them have Facebook pages, both of them have Twitter feeds, so you can just look either one up on either of those two social media outlets, and we are there.
All right, great. And while you're doing that, you can go rate, review, and subscribe on any podcatcher you might be using to listen to this show. You can shoot us an email at thegreatminute@gmail.com. Our website is thegreatescapeminute.com. Our Facebook group is The Cooler. And our Twitter account is GreatEscapeMXM. So, Eric, you want to come back tomorrow and finish off the week?
I would love to. Now that I know we're in a bad location, but at least we got fresh air.
Yeah, just make sure that the lights are out.
Yes.
maybe there'll be an air raid or something like that, and the lights will go out.
Nice.
Maybe. I don't know if it'll be tomorrow. We might have to wait a little bit for that. But all right. So until tomorrow, tally ho.
Tally ho.